Got another old friend who is set up, ready to go, and I promise you it will be another delightful hour of music. She's got a brand new album out, and it is a real keeper. And we'll be doing a lot of talking about that. She's got a concert CD release party coming up in a week. We'll be talking about that as well. And we'll be talking about some of the ethical dilemmas that she has been into over the past year as well. Our good friend Lara Herskovich in Studio A.
Trailer's ready, gas tank's filled. Harriet's homecoming, the town is standing still. As day turned to evening, the warmth disappeared. If home is where the heart is, that's clearly not here. Red carpet wasn't rolling, barricades instead. Many happy town officials call the matter dead. Hiding in the shelter of zoning legal speak, you plan the reception for Simon Legree. They say they love the little lady who started the war, but Harriet's not welcome in Litchfield anymore. They never noticed their shepherd's train, and their shadows all stretch to yesterday. We climb the apple tree to find only pears. Call for your conscience, nobody's there. You crumble the mirror when it shows your fear. The Underground Railroad never stopped. Oh, piousness on Sunday doesn't save your soul. Look inside the tax code, a great big heart-shaped hole. Leave them to live hungry ever after in the end. Centuries later, you still don't understand. They say they love the little lady who started. Shadows all stretch into yesterday. The sentry sleeps as you sweep through. We might save us from ourselves. How are we gonna save us from you? They say they love the little lady who started. Shadows all stretch. They may love the little lady who started the war, but not the people who she stood for. All of your excuses make it clear you believe in equality, just not here. Just not here. No, just not here.
Good evening.
Hi, Steve.
And welcome back.
Thank you. It's always a pleasure to be here.
I hadn't realized it's been a while since you've been here.
It took me a long time to make another CD.
Hey, and it's really a good one.
Thank you.
I mean, you've got some pretty bouncy tunes. I think I called it sizzling.
I saw that on the webpage.
It really is. I mean, you've got some of those wonderful Latino-type pieces, and you got a little African pieces on it as well. It's a good effort.
Thank
and
you.
Beautiful, beautifully packaged as well. I don't normally get into that, but
I have such a great graphics team. I really, really do. I'm lucky to be able to work with people of that caliber. But we had fun. We had so much fun putting it together.
And I'm glad you did. And you've got Michael Benson with you again.
Hello. Nice
How
to see
are you?
Again.
You only brought one drum in?
One drum, yeah.
Well, you'll do very well with just the one, I know.
And you're in your 32nd year. This is actually the 33rd year.
Heading for the 33rd year.
For.
I don't like to talk about that anymore.
Oh, all right. Yeah. Never mind.
I've been doing the show for longer than you've been alive. It's horrible.
Such a great show.
I started looking back, occasionally, and, what I did in the early years, the playlists and things, and it's like, did I do that?
Has it changed much over the decades, really?
Yeah, over the decades. It's a good point. I'm probably less traditional than I was, even though I had, wonderful Deborah Cowan on
the
terrific. First hour.
She was terrific. We had so much fun listening on the way down.
She does have a good voice, a really good voice. Mm-hmm. And I probably did more traditional music. I did a lot more ethnic music in the early years. I used to play stuff from Eastern Europe and Africa, and I've gotten away from a lot of that. Mm-hmm. So probably call upon you tonight to
sure,
and we can play a piece off the album as well. But you've had a very busy year in addition to the album. You've been playing in a lot of venues, some of which I have to admit I'm not familiar with. I just haven't gotten to them. You and several other artists who've been here. There's a place in New York that you've played at several times.
Yes.
Which I'm not aware of, and I don't even know how to pronounce it.
Cavahaz, yeah. I think that's...
Cavahaz?
Cavahaz. Okay. I think it's somehow German, but I Coffee House. I think it's Coffee House in German, something
Oh,
like
is
that.
It?
I believe
okay.
that's right. It's and Coffee House in something.
Where's it located?
It's in Chelsea on... Oh, gosh. On 26th Street,
I think
Broadway and 8th or something like that. And it's a sister club to Satala.
Oh, okay. Which did go out of business
which is,
recently.
Yeah, closing. Yeah. It's still the same owner, but I guess he's actively looking to sell it. And so who knows what it's going to turn into. It's real estate life in Manhattan. It's just never a dull moment.
Right, right.
But it's been a really, really nice home for the last couple of years.
And
nice to have someplace fairly centrally located.
And you've been doing some traveling. You were in Africa for 3 weeks, which had to be
great.
Wonderful.
It was wonderful. I had done a lot of traveling when I worked for Save the Children.
Mm-hmm.
And that was one piece of making the decision. Taking the turn toward music meant taking a turn away from international development work. And I really missed the traveling. So It was a little frustrating to be traveling as a tourist, per se, I will say. That was hard. But it felt really good to be out of the country and in a place I hadn't been and in Africa. And it was just fantastic.
Did you bring your axes with you? Did you get to play music over there?
I specifically bought a very, very inexpensive travel guitar that I wasn't going to have to worry about. Because I didn't want to have to worry about it.
Right,
and
exactly.
It served its purpose. It was great. It stays in tune most of the time, which was all I really needed. and it was there when I needed it. Yeah, that song Dembe that's on the CD was written there. And the guitar came in handy for that.
Right. Okay, well, our guest for the second hour is Lara Herskovich, and she's got a brand new album out that is called Juror Number 13. Later I'll let you tell the story about that. And as I said, it's a wonderful album. I mean, it's like, taking you up to another step, I think. Do you get the same feeling, same vibrations?
Yes. Well, first I'd say, I guess the norm in the industry is to release an album every 2 years, and I skipped that, and this is 4 years between the last one and this one. So I think the growth is, maybe the natural growth that would have occurred that you wouldn't have sort of seen as radical a jump because there would have been another album in between the two. But I worked really, really hard. I mean, I'm working really hard to be a better craftsperson, I heard you and Deb talking about the art of songwriting, and I probably have some songs that I'm still working on, so technically they've taken, 30 however many years. But normally they don't take as long as Leonard Cohen
does.
Writing.
Yeah.
but I've been working really hard at voice and working harder at guitar and working harder at the craft of poetry and the craft of melody writing and sort of all of that. So I'm really glad that some of that work shows. I mean,
yeah, it definitely does. Definitely does.
And it's just, I'm having a ball. I just love it. And I remember hearing Peter Mulvey talk about that once at, at, must have been when he was down here at the Acoustic Cafe, something like that, that everywhere he goes, he's on the road so much that he still tries to find music teachers or workshops or, and he's really an amazing guitar player and
yeah,
a terrific musician. And I think one of the best poets on the folk circuit, on the, you know, sort of contemporary singer-songwriter circuit. And he was talking about music as so stimulating because there's always more to learn. There's, no matter how good you get, there's always, it can always go deeper.
Right.
And that's what I'm finding too, is it's just, it's more fun the better I get at it. The harder it gets and the easier it gets at the same time.
Right. And one of the wonderful things that I've liked recently with a lot of the singer-songwriters, and I think you're included in this group, is you've been playing a lot in a more communal sense, playing together in groups and stuff. And I think that's just so, you know, wonderful for artists to, you know, kind of be rubbing against each other, and some of that rubs off a little bit as well. And it, you know, builds a better sense of community, too. I think it's good for folk and acoustic music overall.
Yes, absolutely.
I mean, you've been part of, what, Tribes Hill?
Tribes Hill has been incredible. Just such a nice group of people at all different levels, and people that you can always be learning from and putting on joint festivals. And I've made lots of really great friends, with KJ Denhert being one.
Yeah.
She's on this album. And I met her through Tribes Hill. She's a very good friend now and a fantastic musician.
Yes, she is. She was on the show during the past year, I think last summer at some point, with a few other musicians too. And it was a great night because we had... She was on. There was a young group on called Causeway.
Oh, that's right.
And
yeah,
I think it was probably like one of the first radio shows they had done, and they were really nervous. And KJ just kind of made them at home.
Yeah.
And you know, it worked. It worked really well.
She was incredible in the studio too. This was the first time I had recorded with her, and she brought so many great ideas in and had such great spirit and energy and enthusiasm and great sense of humor, and just made everything easier that she touched. It was really, really fun to watch that happen.
Okay. Do you want to play another piece off the album?
Sure, sure. Anything in particular, or should we just pick one?
No, you can choose one.
Do Fine Line?
There may be a few pieces you want to play, you know, give the more studio effect,
oh,
too,
that's
that
true.
we can play right off the CD as well.
All right. All right, well, this song is called Se Puede. Most of it's in English, but the chorus is Se Puede, which is Spanish. The word Cavajas does not appear in this song. If it did, I would try to pronounce it correctly. But Se Puede is this terrific saying, but cultural concept in Latin America, which can be referring to politics on a national level or on a regional level, and it can pertain to individual change, and simply it means it is possible, it can be done. His view from the bullseye is nothing but darts. Makes ducking and dodging a new form of art. Doesn't care for arriving, he's happy to go. To meet all those people he doesn't know. He's not scared of falling, but that he might jump when the wind blows the wrong way, he won't push his lucky stars to left feet in his life's own ballet, and he dances anyway. Say
railroad car looking for track. Wonders when her dues will pay her back. Nowhere to go besides swimming upstream. Heading home to water where she's never been. She tries not to think and she tries not to dream. Tries to stay balanced out there on that beam. And she wonders if her goal's just a cliche, but tries not to stop at halfway.
Beautiful song.
Thank you.
And that is off Lara's new album, which is called Juror Number 13. And also features, not only features Michael doing percussion, but features his photography.
Features his photography, yes.
It's a whole other side to him. Are you still at WPKN too?
Yeah, I'm still at WPKN.
Yeah, wow. I don't know where you find time to do all these things.
Yeah, I wonder.
It's incredible. I just loved when it came in the mail a couple of weeks ago. I just loved the cover photo because that's Lara Herskovich going through.
What he's trying to say is a little silly.
No.
Even in Africa, she doesn't behave.
But you do have a wonderfully honed sense of humor, which, you know, I guess I caught glimpses of it the times you've been in before, but it really caught me when we were doing that raffle.
Oh, that was
on the
fun.
Stage of the New Haven Folk Festival.
Last year, that's right.
I mean, you just took over the stage.
You're lucky she didn't push you off, right?
That was fun.
It was fun.
I have never done a raffle before, so it was a good opportunity. I'm all about just experiencing different things. I think life can be really fun if the circumstances are right. And And part of what's fun for me is trying new things. So doing a raffle was a good opportunity to try something else.
At least you didn't try to tell them they want a new car or something.
That's right. With Folk DJ on the license plate. That's an impressive license plate. I had not noticed that before.
That actually is fairly new. It was a birthday gift from my wife last year.
Oh.
She says, you know, you've been doing this for so long. You should have a license plate that... It's you. So
this makes you the patriarch nationwide now, I think.
You see, people give you the strangest looks, though, you know, as they're passing you. You know, they're kind of looking. Oh, yeah, he's got a beard. He must be, must be into folk music. Yeah, but you're very busy as well. Are you still working for Connecticut Fund for the Environment?
Yes. Yeah, I moved there about a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a great group. Do they get a lot of work done.
Yeah,
I mean, locally they're fighting the liquefied natural gas terminal that Broadwater Energy is trying to plop down in the middle of Long Island Sound.
Right. And unbelievable proposal.
Lots of, yes, yes, indeed, indeed.
Oh, come on, that's a great idea.
It would be what, 4 football fields long?
Yeah. I don't remember the exact dimensions.
10 stories high. Lit up 24 hours a day.
I know, right in the middle of Long Island Sound.
And a big trench of pipeline into the sediment. And yeah, it's...
I keep thinking, you know, what, you know, I know profit, I'm sure, is what motivates these things, but to put it in the middle of such, you know, such a fragile ecosystem as Long Island Sound is just mind-boggling.
Yes.
With a mile buffer around it. I mean, picture if you've ever been out on the Sound in the weekends in the summer with all the boaters out there and the fishermen and stuff.
Right.
Well, it's a mile no-go around, approximately, I guess, a mile no-go around the floating facility,
right,
as well as
the shipping lane,
the tankers that are delivering the liquid natural gas to and fro. It would be a mess, and it, you know, would set a horrible precedent for industrialization of our public trust.
Yeah, exactly.
So, Connecting Fund for the Environment is doing a really, really great job. I mean, there are a lot of lawyers on the team, but also scientists, ecologists. I'm really impressed with the talent that's there and how focused everybody is on the issues that they're working on. And it's an interesting time because it's newly post-merger with Save the Sound, so we're really actively working to make the whole greater than the sum of the parts. And
do you get to use your music at all
in
the work?
No.
Okay.
No, I think I like to think that I call education work, health and human services work, education, early childhood, the arts. I call all of it social work because I'm a social worker.
Right,
so
exactly.
I think sort of generally it's an umbrella. Not unlike folk music, right? And I think social work feeds my music, keeps me well-rounded, keeps things in perspective. So music participates in that work in some way. If it didn't, I probably wouldn't be doing it.
Right. You know? And all three of your albums, too, have got, you know, a certain political tone and such with them, too. Social consciousness, I guess, is the words I was looking for. And that, to my mind, that, you know, that's the best thing.
I enjoy that part of it.
I mean, there are a lot of people who are singer-songwriters who, you know, don't have that social awareness tone. I mean, I'm speaking from a guy who grew up in the 1960s. You know, I bring Phil Oakes and Tom Paxton to the table, basically. And, you know, for a long time, I think a lot of that was missing in folk and acoustic music and shouldn't have been. So I'm glad you're doing what you're doing.
Well, thanks.
And Lara will be doing it up well next Saturday evening, March 18th. We want to mention that. It will be her CD release party at a marvelous venue here in Bridgeport on Fairfield Avenue, the Acoustic Cafe. And that's at 8 o'clock for juror number 13. And you're going to have a full band with you, too, right?
It's going to be a crowded, fun stage that night. Yeah, Michael will be on percussion. Tim Murphy will be on bass. And we have special guest Pierce Campbell's coming down to sing some harmonies and play. He's playing electric guitar. He's excited because he is normally playing mandolin.
You can bring him back to his old Five
Satins
day.
There you go.
he's ready. He's pumped up. So Pierce will be there on guitar. And Paul Neary is also going to come down and play nylon string. A lot of his sort of Latin-based flamenco kinds of music that he's doing now with the Acoustic Suburbanites, which is a terrific duo. And I was just singing today with Barbara Schiller, and she's going to help out with a couple of songs just on harmonies. Help me out with dembe.
Terrific.
That's a tough one to do alone.
Now, people should reserve tickets ahead of time, shouldn't they?
Yes, absolutely. I think it's about a third booked already and booking quickly, hopefully.
Yeah, I'm sure. I know it'll be standing room only. Rich will be shoving them through the door there to try and squeeze.
And it's uncomfortable
them
to
in.
Stand, so if you call ahead, you can sit. That's...
And you can call ahead at 335-3655. That's 335-3655, area code 203. Or you can go online, too, I think, at acousticcafe.com.
Right, there's just one C is the thing to remember.
Right, right.
Acoustic Cafe.
Cafe, right. It's kind of like Walt Graham with Acoustic Connections.
Yes.
Sometimes he drops one of the C's too, I think, in the full name. But that CD release party again on Saturday, March 18th at 8 p.m. at the Acoustic Cafe, Fairfield Avenue in the Black Rock section of Bridgeport.
Come on down.
Which is really kind of a happening place.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
For the city. So the new album, which, as we've pointed out a couple times, is just beautifully packaged. I mean, you've always had good packaging from Cintiara and then there.
Yes.
And those are the first two albums.
I agree. And it's been the same graphics team all along. and very different kinds of looks, which I think is really fun about it, too.
Exactly. What do you think is the really big change over the 4 years with this particular album? If there's one thing you had to seize on,
most importantly, I would say better songs. I mean, really plain and simple. I have come to the conclusion that production doesn't matter as much, and graphics, although I love them, don't matter as much. And you know, as I'm sort of self-conscious because I'm fighting a cold and I have my Demi Moore voice on today. Sorry that I keep clearing my throat. Singing voice doesn't matter as much. You know, Tom Waits and Joe Cocker. And the thing that matters the most, and you and Deb were talking about it before too, and she has a talent for finding them and knowing them when she finds them, is an excellent song that tells a great story and tells it in a compelling way and connects to, you know, whatever it is it's trying to connect to, whether it's emotional or spiritual or political or whatever the topic is, the content is. That's my new conclusion and my new driving force. Hopefully then, as a secondary, you have fabulous production and fabulous instrumentation and a good voice to back it up and, you know, nimble enough fingers to play guitar in a way that isn't embarrassing and, you know. And then all of that comes together to support the song. But if the song isn't great by itself, played on a terrible traveling guitar that barely stays in tune, if the song is great, then you know, I think hopefully all else flows from that. So I think that's, personally, I think that's the biggest difference.
Right. And you see that as it probably your biggest maturation point as an artist as well? Because you do write a lot of the material.
Yes, yes. I tried to get a cover song on this CD. I ran out of time and money, and you know, I thought, so I got to end this at some point. It's been 4 years already.
Right.
I think I've been working on all of it. I took voice lessons for about a year and a half over these 4 years.
Remember we talked about that.
Yeah. I'm taking guitar lessons now with Joe Back, which is so much fun. So it's hard to say. I think I'm a better songwriter now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Good. Now, the title cut, you're number 13.
Well, it doesn't exactly correspond to any song specifically, which it's technically supposed to, but it makes reference to a song that's called The Day the Jury Got Away. And to make a long story short, I was called for jury duty. And I have been called before, but always I make the phone call the night before and they don't invite me in.
You're one of those lucky people.
I know. That's what everyone says. But I feel like one of the unlucky people because I almost went to law school. And I'm really interested. You know, again,
you
this is another.
You want to serve on a jury, right?
She really wants
to know what goes on in there.
This is another one of those experiences that I think my life won't be complete unless I've sat on some really interesting jury. And I got called in. And so I showed up and sat in the juror room, saw the video. You know, don't visit the crime scene and so on. If you get picked, you can't visit the crime scene independently. You can't read the newspaper. You can't watch television. And all the rules. Getting very excited because, of course, this means that the case is going to be just so fabulous. And then at 11 a.m., I was there for 2 hours, I think reading Uncle Tom's Cabin to get some content for Just Not Here, the song that we played 2 songs ago. Because I was writing about Harry Beecher Stowe and Litchfield and that whole big debate. And they let us go. And I was so disappointed. And I spent the rest of the day writing a song about getting dismissed from jury duty. And what it turned into was fairly unexpected, which was that there's a theme throughout the album, just about, it, you know, it's a little bit. There are some songs that are reflecting on melancholy. I mean, this 9/11 was the beginning of when this was writing was taking place.
Right.
But there's hope in it. I mean, there's. I think it lands me anyway in a more hopeful place. It's the Se Puede. It is possible, and maybe it's not perfect, but we're moving in the right direction.
Right.
And that's what juror number 13 is supposed to be. So it's someone. It's the 13th juror because there are only 12. I happen to also like that it's a 13 is a number we're supposed to be afraid of, and of course that makes it my favorite number. So it's the 13th person who's out there in the world trying to make the world a better place in various ways.
Right. Now, would you prefer to do that song live the day the jury got away, or do you want to play it off the record? Play it live, then.
We'll play it live. All right, you're the boss, Steve. You know, I'm just following instructions.
Then we'll talk a little bit about your trip to Africa. And off the album, we'll play the African piece that I'm so enamored of.
Yeah, there's a good story behind that one, too. If I can't get my voice clear and I'm going to be coughing through it, I might as well let my guitar be in tune. You know, get one out of two.
It's one of the great things about radio.
It's honest.
It is honest, but you know, you can make a mistake, you go on. And I had Kate McDonald in once, and she started off a song, and then she realized it wasn't the song she had, you know, was going to sing along with.
Yeah.
She just stopped dead and said, "Hey, we're going to start all over, and we'll do it right this time."
Good for her. All right, so this is called The Day the Jury Got Away. Who still believes justice is blind? These 13 jurors will not get a chance to decide. 'Cause they settled the case and left us all wanting more. They said thanks for your service, then showed us the door. I made a motion and objected. We were supposed to have been selected. It was the day the jury got away. Revealed layers of fog. It started with homework and a hungry dog. It was the day the jury got away. It was the day the jury got away. Oh, yes, yes, it was the day. It was the day the jury got away.
So there's something about that song I just find so funny. Every time I have listened to
That's
it.
That's good.
I know it's supposed to be funny, but it just goes beyond being funny, too. it's a really
I know you're laughing with it and not at it.
It's a neat
Steve.
Piece of songwriting.
Thank yeah. you. It was fun to write.
I mean, each time I have listened to it, I found myself just sort of bursting out with laughter at some of the lines and such.
In a good way. I
think. Yeah.
Okay. Just checking.
Well, any consolation, I have never gotten on a jury either.
So. Oh, see?
Was chosen once, and then they settled the case overnight.
Mm.
Yeah. And it was a civil case. It wasn't a criminal case.
Yeah, they say that's what they lectured us and said that's the point of the jury is to get them to settle. I mean, basically, that was sort of the
Unfortunately,
conclusion.
Yeah. The that's... court system, they, especially in civil cases, they just keep going at each other, filing motions and things like that for years sometimes. And it's not until there's the scent of a jury
going
to be there.
The scent of crazy people off the street. Sensible. Oh, I don't know.
So was your trip to Africa, which, of course, found, its way onto the album as well, was that just vacation or...?
It was vacation. It was a special type of vacation. I had been talking about going to Uganda in particular with my former boss from Save the Children and his wife.
Okay.
We had been talking about that for at least 10 years. I mean, since I started working there. They had spent 6 or 7 or 8 years in the, was it the mid-60s?
60 to 66, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Living there, he's from Scotland, she's from England, and the choice then, but I don't know when it stopped, was for British male subjects of a certain age, either could go join the military of some kind and serve mm-hmm. sort of a reserves type of thing, or do international development volunteer service, and that's what he chose. So they got shipped off to Uganda. At the time, it was only by boat, and it took 6 days to get there, or something like that, from London. And these were their formative years, and they hadn't really been back as tourists since. He had been back a couple of times mm-hmm. for work over the following 40 years or something since they left. So we'd been talking about, we wanted to go to Uganda with them and get the grand tour from people who had lived there and knew people. And
mm-hmm.
I mean, the guy who's the president of Uganda now and a number of his cabinet officials were students in Fred's history class. I mean, he was, a middle school or high school history teacher. And it just so happens that a lot of the leadership happened to be from that town and that school. And
right.
So finally, it just kind of came together. He had retired a couple years ago, went down to Florida and decided he needed to travel a little bit more. And have been dying to go anyway. And then their son and his girlfriend who live in England, he was born there and he decided he really wanted to go. So once we had 6, then it made a customized tour a little mm-hmm. more feasible
right.
in terms of economics. So the 6 of us planned this 3-week, now I'm thinking 3-hour tour, a 3-week safari of sorts that included a visit back to their town and the church where they got married and lots of amazing things. I would say most wonderfully for me was trekking to look at mountain gorillas, which is just amazing. I mean, there's only 3 or 4 countries where you can do that, and there are 3 groups in Sudan, Rwanda, and Uganda that are habituated to humans. Just they only let humans interact with them, and you can't touch them. You're about 8 feet away for 1 hour a day because they're trying to repopulate mm-hmm. the species. And so that was really incredible. And elephants and lion and and the giraffe, and I mean sort of the typical East African animals, yeah, which were just breathtaking. And the people of Uganda were friendly and warm and talented, and it hasn't been overrun with tourism in the way that Kenya has.
Mm-hmm.
They were the friendliest people I've ever met. I mean, they just blew me away with how welcoming, and you felt like they literally treated you as a guest in their country.
Mm-hmm.
You know? I mean, you're obviously a visitor with your white skin, so they just were so welcoming. It was wonderful. It was wonderful.
Yeah, I lost my train of thought.
The situation in Uganda, I assume politically,
is fairly stable? It is now, knock on wood, quickly.
Mm-hmm.
But that's what's kept it from being overrun with tourists, because it was unsafe to go to Uganda. Mm-hmm. A lot of the British citizens, when it was a protectorate, who were living there, packed up and left. They were, Asian population, South Asian population was given 48 hours to pack their things and leave, you know, under Idi Amin and the guy that preceded him. So it has this reputation. But it's interesting because it hasn't been overrun with tourists, but as a result, I mean, tourists are coming back slowly but surely. And as people like us come back and, you know, talk about it, other people sort of get interested in going, it's given the country and the leadership of the country the ability to be really thoughtful about how to engage tourism in a way that is going to help sustainable development in the long term.
Mm-hmm.
So there are community tours that you can take where they take you, you know, near the community school because the government school doesn't reach that far, and they're talking about, and some of it is fundraising, but they're trying to do it in a way that's really helpful for education and health and economic development. And
good.
So a lot of economic cooperatives and group guaranteed lending kinds of programs. And it was really impressive to see how much talent was being leveraged on behalf of poor people.
Right.
Really,
the other thing
inspiring.
That they do well is they try to spread the revenues to the indigenous population that borders the parks.
Okay.
Rather than these people watch busloads and carloads of tourists drive by every day, spend a lot of money and leave, and they don't benefit from it, they get a certain percentage of the entry fees and things like that, and some of that goes towards schools and health clinics and things like that. So they try to and it also helps protect the animals from people going in and poaching animals or cutting trees.
Yeah.
So they say, look, you're going to get money from the people that come, not from killing the animals. You can buy food. You don't have to go out and kill the animals. So there's a lot. They've been very thoughtful about the development, and they're sort of a hands-on planning there. It's nice to see.
It's good to hear.
Yeah.
So it was a joy. We had it was just the six of us in a rented car with a driver and guide and birder. This guy, Martin Okot, who was just turned into a great friend. I mean, it's hard to say that after just 3 weeks, but
he was family by the end, though.
such a nice guy. And it was really a wonderful, wonderful experience. And 3 weeks was a good, solid amount of time. Less than that would have been hard to leave. It was hard to leave as it was. I mean, I was saying to Valerie Richardson the other day on PKN that I could have easily just, with a better guitar, right? I had this little not-so-hot travel guitar. If I'd had a better guitar with me, it would have been easy to just stay.
Right.
And start doing something and, you know, sort of let the details work themselves out.
Well, you would have wanted internet access to know how the Jets did, so.
Yeah, that's true.
That's the other
part
that was tough.
Yeah, but some of the music on the album kind of grew out of that trip, I'm assuming.
There was one song in particular, which is probably very obvious. For one, it's the only song that's in Luganda. That was a dead giveaway. Anybody who's paying attention to nature, whether it's the sounds of nature, is hearing symphonies all the time. And that's true in Fairfield and New Haven and Bridgeport and so on. I don't hear them as much around here because I'm, you know, I have family in Vermont, and it's quiet where they are. So when I come here, I don't hear the birds, even though there are birds.
Right.
I'm listening to the Merritt and I-95 and things like that. But being in Africa, where the sounds are different, brought them to the forefront so much more clearly. And we were traveling in quiet, pretty remote areas where it was mm-hmm. often just the six of us at a campsite. And as a result, and we were tired. And so, you know, I mean, come 9 o'clock, we're exhausted and it's just time to turn in. And so I engaged with the sounds of the forests and the grasslands and the really in a more intense way than I feel like I do here. Because you'd get used to chickadees, and so they're not quite as special as something you've never heard before. And so I found myself listening to birds and listening to monkeys and listening to mm-hmm. all these sort of foreign things and hearing music. And all of a sudden I was lucky enough to attend a singing improvisation workshop with Bobby McFerrin last summer.
Right.
And the way he describes what he does is, you know, sort of not that he doesn't describe it as novel. He describes it as African, you know, and he and I can't remember who he was with, but was it Wynton Marsalis? No, it was Yo-Yo Ma, I think. The two of them went to an African village. I don't remember which country. And there was a time for the performance. And the village was very frustrated with this because there were Yo-Yo Ma and Bobby McFerrin. And why do we have to wait until 8 o'clock to start? Because you're here and we're here. And so sing and play. And it was a very sort of foreign thing. And so mm-hmm. this was in my mind as I was listening to all of these foreign sounds. And it was another reason why I could have just stayed for a couple of years, you know, and just written yeah. all kinds of things. Because all you have to do to be a fantastic musician is go somewhere and imitate nature, because nature's got it down. And there was this one bird, and it turns out it was a red-eyed dove, or a red-eyed juba is the word in Uganda, which I put mm-hmm. in the liner notes, because juba sounded much more sophisticated than dove to me. And the bird, I just kept hearing, do 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 do. And someone who was sort of looking for, I want this album to be a little happier, a little brighter, a little bouncier. I just fell in love with the sound of this bird, and I was trying really hard only to remember that little bit. And I didn't have a recording device with me. I didn't have anything, so I was trying to write it down and notate the music, and I realized in trying to write it down that this bird always sang in perfect, I think it was perfect fourths, in different keys, but the relationship between the doo-doo and the doo-doo-doo-doo was always the same. And so simply in trying to remember the bird, it gets stuck in my head, because as a musician, I always have some music in my head, even if it's doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo. So I'd be walking around trying to still remember this, going doo 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 doo. And with Bobby McFerrin and the sort of circle song technique, although that's not what he would call it, but circle song writing, having just come from that experience of just a few months earlier, you picture that phrase still going in your mind. Doo 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 doo. Thank you. There's part of my brain now. I sound like Michael Benson. Doo 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 doo. And so on.
Right.
So then, all right, so I've got these things, and what are you going to do with that? And I sat in the front seat. We had a very long trip, 8 hours or 7 hours or something. And I grilled poor Martin and said, okay, tell me about Luganda. Because it was either going to be Lugandan or it was going to be Swahili or one of the sort of smaller language groups. And he knew some Luganda. If he was fluent in Swahili, the song would have been in Swahili. But he happened to know Luganda. That's what we had time for. And I just grilled him on, tell me how to say peace. Tell me how to say love. Tell me how to say justice. Tell me how to say freedom. Tell me how to say healing. Tell me how to say bird. And just give me all the words you got. And then I took all of those words and tried to make something coherent, which turned out to be one of the lines. So the bird turned into kunon yedembe, kunon yedembe, which is Dembe is this fabulous word, which all at the same time, they tell me, means peace and freedom and justice. One word. Like, I love this word. So kunonya dembe means seeking them mm-hmm. by seeking peace and freedom okay. and justice. And then the other line is the middle one is saying Lino e Cuba, which means at the same time this road and is this the road. And then the answer to those questions of is this the road or how do you get to the road to Dembe, to peace and freedom and justice, is Awamu, which means together. And so all the voices on this song end up, of course, folk musician, end up together on Awamu. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, let's listen to the finished product from Alara's new album, which is called Juror Number 13.
That was a very long explanation. I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. That was wonderful.
Okay.
Okay.
Beautiful, beautiful piece.
Thank you.
And it's called Dembe, and it is on Lara Herskovich's brand new CD, which I assume is available through your webpage.
It is.
www.laraherskovich, and we'll spell that out. Lara is L-A-R-A, and it's all one word, both the first name and the last name, and then it's L-A-R-A-H-E-R. SCOVITCH.com.
And I spelled my name correctly on this album. So on there, I left the T out of my own last name.
I wasn't even going to mention that.
you did notice then.
Well, we had talked about it on the air at one point. Right?
It made for a good family joke.
When the album came out. I can imagine, yes. But check out... Lara's webpage as well, and she obviously will have it with her the night of the CD release party at the Acoustic Cafe in the Black Rock section of Bridgeport. That's down on Fairfield Avenue, and that will be on Saturday, March 18th, the day after St. Patrick's Day, at 8 o'clock. And you'd best call Acoustic Cafe to make a reservation for that evening, because it will probably be standing room only and then some out on the sidewalk as well, is my guess.
And it could be snowing, so you don't want to be out there.
Oh, it's going to be a beautiful night.
And it's going to be a beautiful night, so. I saw crocuses today.
Did you?
Actual wow. flowers, little yellow flowers.
Mm.
Amazing.
It's certainly been warm enough.
I'm waiting for the next snowstorm. I'm not quite ready for spring.
Yeah, right. Well, we've had blizzards in March and even in April. Mm. So in the past.
But not next weekend.
Right, exactly. Exactly. Well, one of the things I got a big kick out of, you send out a monthly note, which people can sign up for on your webpage as well, which I always, I just find them terrific to read. But one of the things I just wanted to talk about a little bit was your big ethical dilemma.
It was big. It felt big. It was big to me.
And it's kind of a funny story, but it occasionally does happen to people. But you ended up with a bigger, what was it, a bonus check?
It was supposed to be a refund. $10 or something, and instead somebody made a mistake and sent me, I forget now how much it was, 200 or 300.
Wasn't 400?
It might have been 400. Yeah. It was enough to be tempting to a musician and types thereof. And I knew.
Oh no, it was 287.30.
Oh, to be exact.
Yes, not, to be exact.
If it was 287.10, I would have sent it right back. But it was that extra 20 cents that put me over the edge. Yeah, and I knew what the right thing to do was, but I was willing to be told that I should go cash the check, and then I would have thought about it. I probably still would have sent it back, but I was trying to fool myself to believe that I could cash the check, which really didn't belong to me. Although I don't know if that's true. I think I actually was tempted when I first got it, but I didn't feel quite right about it. It's in my wallet, but I haven't signed the back yet, and I just wasn't feeling right. So I decided, I said, you know, I've got this amazing mailing list of smart, thoughtful, talented people, I'll ask them what I should do. Right. And so I did and got back. I don't remember how many responses. I don't think I ever said the number, but a lot of responses.
Right.
Which was so much fun. And I compiled them into.
You did indeed. That's what I loved about the. Should I read the answers?
Yes, they were just amazing.
Well, 10% of. The respondents said, give it back, which kind of shocked
10%.
Me. 10%.
Only 10.
53% said, keep it. 18% said, give it to charity.
Uh-huh.
And 12% said, let your conscience be your guide. And 7% said, give me the money.
And I think one of those 7% offered to take me out to dinner as a part of giving the money to him or her.
So the Enron spirit won out.
Yeah, it certainly did.
I didn't call the people generous. I just called them smart. And
Well, what surprised me, though, is when you called the company that you got the check from was the response you got where the person said, have a Merry Christmas.
Yes, that's right. That was like just the guy that picks up the phone, customer service 101, and I said, I got this check. What should I do? Because I thought, well, if he lets me off the hook, then certainly I can go cash this check. I was, as Michael will say, I'm wont to do. I ask a question, and then as many times as I need to get the answer that I've been waiting for. And it was a case like that. But he gave me the answer I was waiting for, which was Merry Christmas. And, you know, was hoping it wasn't, this call will be recorded for, this call may be recorded quality assurance purposes. He's in big trouble if it was. And then I thought, well, that's not really good enough. So as I was still debating this all over the course of probably 24 hours or something like that, called the head of customer service and asked her what to do. And she said, would you please send the check back? And that would be terrific. And it's really nice of you. And I thought, all right, I knew I was supposed to do that in the first place. But, you know, I needed a maternal guide to just the voice of reason to step in.
Well, it was a funny little story. Which was really
I once had one like that. That was harder to give up. I did work for one of the, I won't say who, because there was a lot of money involved, but it was one of the major television networks in New York. I did some freelance work for them and hadn't done any work in 2 years. And I get this check out of the blue for $13,890 or whatever it was. But it was $13,000 something.
And 30 cents.
And you know, my eyes were bugging out of my head, and the temptation was much greater there.
Yeah.
But I, you know, said, well, they're probably going to miss that. You know, they're probably going to notice that. So had to send that back, too.
But you could have invested it, still had it available to give
That's
it back,
right.
but
yeah,
kept
right.
the interest that it had earned
exactly,
over, the,
yeah.
over the time that it took them.
Made a little extra, right.
Well, our guests tonight here on Profiles in Folk are Lara Herskovich and on percussion, Michael Benson. And again, Lara will be releasing her CD, which is called Juror Number 13. And beautiful colors, too, on the album. That's the other thing that struck me. I don't know who chose those, but
we worked
really
very
nice.
Hard on very specific PMS. Is that what they call them? Panto P? I don't know, that's a graphic design term. Susan Fizikas is
okay.
my
okay.
very
yeah.
good friend and mm-hmm. very good, obviously, graphic designer. And, yeah, we sweated over which particular shade of rust to pick. Should it be brick or should it be actual rust? Well, it depends on the type of rust. Is it, you know, and on and on and on.
Well, you know, it's good, though, that you sweat over it because there are more. I subscribe to the folk DJ listserv,
yes.
you
yes.
know, where the people post all their playlists and things like that. And I'm usually like a month behind reading them, but there is like a constant ongoing debate amongst people who program folk music shows, you know, about how CDs are put together and how some of them you can't read anything. People
yeah.
don't put the timings on. Mm-hmm. So it is, you know, it's kind of important, you know, if you want people to promote your music, and
yeah.
this is, I guess, a lesson for young people out there. You know, do the album the right way.
Absolutely.
And it does get, you know, gets a response.
And graphics really do. I mean, you know, that there yeah. are a lot of really great people out here in the world doing this, doing what I'm doing,
mm-hmm.
producing, owning their own record label, producing their own CDs, promoting their own CDs. And if you have a stack of 200 to go through, which
that's,
maybe represents
which is right.
a month at a time... One that's more visually compelling or looks more yeah. professionally done is you know may lead your brain to think that maybe the music will be more professionally done
mm-hmm.
and so on. So mm-hmm. I think it does matter. It's
it
not
does.
Why
oh, definitely,
I do it.
Definitely
but I,
does.
It's fun and I really enjoy letting the graphics express part of what's going on in the album.
Mm-hmm.
And Michael's a great photographer
yeah,
that
he
way.
He is. He is.
And Susan's a terrific graphic designer that way too. So right. it's just nice to have all the resources aligned in that direction.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you're when I do radio, if I'm looking at new stuff that has come into the library, if something catches my eye, it's a name I don't know, but the package catches my eye, yeah. I'll listen to it.
Yeah, exactly.
There's that visual content that says, hey, this might be really good.
Yeah.
That's a really intelligent
yeah.
choice they made there, you know, whatever. So
right.
I think packaging is important.
Yeah, you sense some care has been taken. So if mm-hmm. they're going to do this mm-hmm. with the packaging, they're obviously going to do it with the music mm-hmm. they're making.
Yeah.
As well.
But with a big 13 on the cover, which I love to poke fun at, as you know, I mean, sort of social commentary. But I won't have any superstitious programmers opening this one. Keeping it at an arm's yeah. length.
Do you want to play us another number?
Yeah, sure. Sylvia's Eyes, Decisiones. Another year?
Do the one in Spanish.
In Spanish.
That'd be wonderful, yeah.
All right. This one is called Decisiones, and it is all in Spanish.
This very was, international hour.
this is the biggest challenge. I was determined to really write poetry in Spanish. Mm. Actually, you know, I wonder if you should just read the English translation. It might be quicker than my long-winded. I have not figured out a way to explain this song succinctly. But Decisiones, the chorus. Decisiones means decisions.
Decisions, right.
And the chorus, which repeats a few times, I can do that one quickly at least, is in a big starry sky, there are many choices, that is, of things to wish on or things to wish for. And there's this great saying in Latino households, it's the sort of thing you hear, I guess, your grandmother say over and over, that the devil knows more because he's old than because he's the devil. So.
Mm. I'm going to be thinking about that all night.
Lots of different ways to interpret it, but the theme of mm-hmm. this song is sort of taking responsibility for decisions and not sort of blaming it on others. But do you want to?
Oh, you want me to read all of the English lyrics?
Just the, yeah.
Okay. From the beginning?
Sure.
What should she do? The woman seeking yet another job? She's a tree who has to use her limbs for firewood. Nothing simple, nor debate it. In a starry sky, there's a big choice of what to wish on or for. The devil knows more because he's old than because he's the devil. Another war to end the wars. They blame it on the strangers. It shouldn't matter what kind of necklace you wear, a star, cross, or crescent. And then every 3 seconds, while we eat breakfast, if you sold your soul, buy it back. It's because of his eyes, because of us. It's our responsibility.
And that every 3 seconds is the bridge that's referring to. Every 3 seconds, someone dies of extreme poverty. So, on that happy note, let's...
¿Qué podría la bosque arreda? Es un árbol que se quema sus ramas para la leña. Nada sencilla ni debatida. En un cielo estrellado hay un gran surtido. Otra guerra para terminar las guerras. Lo culparon a los forasteros. No debe importar qué color usa una estrella, cruz o media luna. En un cielo estrellado hay un gran sortido. Segundos cuando desayunamos, si vendiste tu alma, cómprala de vuelta en un cielo.
You've been, I guess, you know, from your first album and probably even before that, you've always had a certain amount of Latino-type material, which is just wonderful.
I just love it. I love the language. I love the culture and the people and the food. And it's been a really interesting challenge, as we were talking about, growing the songwriting, mm-hmm. growing the poetry, and the imagery. That's been a real challenge in Spanish. Part of the reason why there aren't more Spanish songs on this CD is because I don't speak it. You know, I was at one point a solid intermediate, okay. but I haven't been in Latin America mm-hmm.
for
any
a while, right?
length of time. Yeah. So the range of my vocabulary has shrunk a little bit. I could probably still write bad songs in Spanish, but to really try to get a good one with really, really great imagery was a very, very fun challenge.
I hadn't thought about that. I just naturally assumed you were pretty fluent in the
Unfortunately,
language.
Not yet. No, it's I will be hopefully before I pass, you know. But no, not yet. I mean, I can get by.
Mm-hmm.
All right. The challenge I always had was as a musician, I think musicians' accents are probably better than non-musicians' accents because we hear what, because we're a hearing, we're a hearing people. If I need to stop talking at any point, just hoist a flag or something if I need to abandon any sentence in particular. That would be one of them. But my accent was always really, really good, and it often left lots of people with the impression that I was fluent because I got that.
Well, in the first hour of the show with Deborah Cowan, we were talking, well, how did the show change? Was that with Deborah or was that with you? Now, see, I'm beginning to wonder. And, you asked me the question. That's right.
And that's what she was interviewing you.
I used to play a lot more international, sort of ethnic music. But I think one of the reasons I got away from it was I have a difficult enough time with English and trying to pronounce Czech and Slovak I had some German and French in my background, but
when it gets into different alphabets, I think that's a little more you've stepped it up a whole other level.
Sort of always looking for the English translations, basically. How does your audience react when you do pieces?
I would say positively. Mm-hmm. It's a joy to play for people who speak Spanish. People who speak Spanish absolutely love it because they're not used to traditional gringo singer-songwriters.
Yeah, here's this woman called Herskovich.
I know. What in God's name is going on? Yeah. So I think it's fun for those people. And more these days more and more people do speak Spanish.
Yeah, exactly.
What I try to do with my Spanish writing is write a song. Some people are lyrics people and some people aren't lyrics people. So for the people who aren't really lyrics people, it doesn't make as much of a difference. Because some people just really love a great melody or love a good rhythm or something like that. Mm. But I try to at least make sure that the songs in Spanish are interesting enough in other ways, that it's not as, you don't miss it as much as you would if it was sort of a really straight ahead mid-tempo song where the changes are predictable and that sort of thing. So hopefully that keeps people engaged who might otherwise tune out.
Okay. Now, let's go to the first song on the album, Fine Line, which opens up with a great line. He was an exclamation point in a world of question marks. I really like that. What's the story behind this particular song, which we'll play off of the album?
Well, I can tell you that line, I would say that the person that inspired that line was Victor Borge.
Okay.
Because he had that whole amazing routine about punctuation and punctuation have sound. And somehow that got my brain. I mean, it's funny because I all along had intended on writing an entire song about if you were a punctuation mark, what would you be?
Content. It's a fine, fine line. As big as a minute, blind as a minute, resigned in a minute to find in a minute. That fog she faces gets thicker every day, made molehills from her mountains in hopes they'd go away. Talks to herself, no reply. She sells Shakespeare as we walk by. Her dreams hitched her eye, left her alone. And now the place that we call crazy is the one that she calls home. It's a fine, fine line. Mm-hmm. As big as a minute. Transylvania, bit by bit. And he says, bite me on the neck, get it over with. It's a fine, fine love.